to the person listening right now who is not growing, who maybe their growth, like they went through seasons of growth, you know, in high school or college or an earlier season in life, and you are just feeling stuck and stagnant right now.
Good call.
Yep.
We've been there.
We've been there. And okay. And you reach for whatever little bit of hope and growth and love and joy. Go back to the last place that you saw God clearly, that you felt him, that you heard him, that you knew it was him, and you were assured that he was good. Go back to that place and just start from there.
You're listening to the In This Together podcast with Dr. Josh and Christy Straub, a podcast dedicated to helping you live, love, and lead well as a spouse, a parent, and a human.
Because no matter where you're at in your journey, you're not alone. We're in this together.
Welcome back to the In This Together podcast. We are excited that you're with us, and we want to just thank you. We want to start the episode by thanking you for all of the reviews and the feedback and the stories that we're hearing from the children's book, What Am I Feeling? Thank you for that. We've been blessed by it.
Yes, so truly. Like, it's been the coolest thing just to have messages from moms and dads of kids. It's funny how it's the kid, like you hear the stories of kids who are either, they've just struggled with naming emotions or just, they just feel a lot of things and it's been helpful for them. But it's super cool also to hear when it's the parents.
Yeah,
it's the adults. We've had families with teenagers who have taken stuff from it because it's just a message that's not for little kids. It starts there, but it's amazing how it's us as we grow up who need this just as much.
And I think Solomon got it right in Proverbs 16:32. He says, "Patience is better than power, and controlling one's emotions than capturing a city." Your ability to control your own spirit, your own emotions, and who you are is everything. And so the main point of the book, A Feeling Is Just a Feeling, It's Not in Charge of You, is one that I think every single person, not just children, alone need to take away. So thank you for your reviews. We continue to encourage you. Post Amazon reviews, post them on Barnes & Noble and everywhere else that there's reviews, because it's what helps parents decide what to buy their children. And while we're talking about that, our goal, as you all know, those of you who listen to us on a regular basis, if you're new, listen to us, we want to welcome you. This has been a fun journey for us to be able to just talk all things family. And for you guys to be on this journey with us means so much to us. And one of the things, I wrote a book a few years ago called Safe House, How Emotional Safety is the Key to Raising Kids Who Live, Love, and Lead Well. And a parenting book on emotional safety really is the foundation to raising kids. We've just seen it through research. We've seen it through scripture that really that emotional safety thing is so critical. And What Am I Feeling was an opportunity for us to put a tool in the hand of parents where they can sit with their children and actually be emotionally safe, do emotional safety without having to read a book while you're holding your infant, you know, and wrangling your toddler, you know, and trying to read a book on emotional safety all at the same time. So this is a way for us to do
Which almost negates everything you're reading, you know?
There you go.
I mean, that was me in that season.
Yeah, because you're not even really digesting it.
No, I wasn't emotionally safe. I was like emotionally starving.
There you go.
Or barren.
So
floundering.
And one of the things that we have done is, so that's the reason for the What Am I Feeling book. And then we have another resource coming out that we've been super privileged to write called Homegrown, Cultivating Your Kids in the Fruit of the Spirit. And this is a Bible study that we were able to put together. It's a 6-week Bible study. We're going to talk a little bit about it here today. And what we're going to really do is help us understand too. We're going to have a discussion, Christy, we're going to have a discussion, you and me, around what it looks like to cultivate kids in the fruit of the Spirit. How do we raise children to love God, to love others, and to be all of the good things, like the fruit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness.
Self-control.
Who doesn't want children who have self-control?
Like, that's the one that you're like, ooh, yeah, we really need to work on that.
Even us as adults.
And that's why we wrote this study, is not just it is about cultivating kids and the fruit of the Spirit. But we realized we wanted something in the hands of parents that brought parents and kids together. It's not just, I think so often, like mom and dad do a Bible study, or maybe you're growing or you're learning something in big church, in air quotes, or in your own quiet time at home. And your kids are, you're reading like a little devo with your kids, which is great. That's wonderful, actually. But what if we did it together? Like, what if this was a something? What if we could create something where the parents were growing and learning at the same time, and then there's tools to bring the kids along into what you're learning? Because I think sometimes, like, I feel like I'll get up from like a time, like a quiet time, and, you know, the kids are, you know, generally curious, and it's like, Mom, what were you, like, what are you doing? And I just sort of skim over it because I don't know how to make it digestible for little ones. Like, well, it's like I prayed. I mean, I talked to God. I read the Bible. I read, you know, but it's like, I never really tell them what I'm reading. I never really tell them what I talked to God about. I never really talked to him about what I worshiped about, or I thanked him for. And maybe that's just natural. It's something that we don't kind of know how to, you know, pull down to size, but I think it's really important because I think our kids grow as they watch us grow. And so we wrote this study so that you can grow in the fruit of the Spirit, learn about the fruit of the Spirit, what is it, starting to cultivate that in our lives, and then you get to come out of that, and there's the action-oriented discipleship nuggets that then we get to do as a family with our own kids.
And so we boated around the four key times of the day, the morning prayers, morning time, you know, when we send our kids off, drive time or family activities when you walk along the way, bedtime questions, bedtime stories, and then dinner time stories as well, the meal time. And just the idea that that as parents, we can go through a small group study in our church, and then we can leave that small group study with those parents and go home and live out that study with our kids and bring our kids into that study and give them activities that they can be a part of that study as well. And so, because as you've heard us said, and if you're new to the podcast, we'd invite you to go back and listen to some of the previous episodes. We did one recently called Why Parenting is the Wrong Term, and the idea that our kids become who we are, that becoming really is the term that we should be using. And the reason behind that, behind this whole idea of releasing a children's book called What Am I Feeling? And then doing a study on the fruit of the Spirit, which I've wanted to do for years.
You have. This has been like...
because the idea here is that
head for a long time.
You cannot be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature. And so
let that just marinate for a second, because I don't think we talk about that very often.
The idea
you cannot be spiritually mature while remaining emotionally immature.
Yeah, and this is Peter Scazzaro has an amazing ministry called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. And I mean, this is the crux of it all, mm-hmm. that if you're truly growing in the Holy Spirit, you're truly growing in the fruit, that you're becoming more emotionally mature as well. That this isn't just having in your brain all of the, I describe it as orthodoxy versus orthopraxy. That's the idea of we have the pragmatic, we understand scripture in our head. But when it comes to actually living out love and joy and peace, the practice of living it out, mm-hmm. it's that head-to-heart transfer. Mm-hmm. The idea that we can have it in our head, and you see this all the time, we get it in our head, but transferring it over into our heart and living that out mm-hmm. is just a very, very powerful part of what we want our kids to be and do, because I believe that's the... I mean, the living out of the head is the Pharisee. Generally speaking, that's who Jesus was targeting. Living it out of our heart are the people that Jesus pursued and praised. And that's what we want. And so...
And yet you've probably heard it said many times that 18 inches from your head to your heart, it's the longest journey we could take.
Depends how long your neck is.
Oh my gosh. Josh's dad jokes are getting worse and worse and worse.
Come on, there's people who actually laughed right there.
Nobody laughed at that.
Everybody laughed at that. Oh, you know that. Gosh. I bet we need to do a poll. I bet there was 70%, 75% of people that
he
laughed
just said,
there.
By the way.
The other 25% didn't hear it. They were driving.
He just said poll, like a poll, like a voting poll. It sounds like pull because he literally can't say the word differently. If you were to ask him to say pool, like that you swim in, pull and pole, like a light pole, you can't tell the difference. It's hilarious. It's my one.
All right, listen, we're going to swing around the pool, take a survey in the pool, and then jump in the pool as well. So here we go. Oh my gosh. All right. We're back.
Sorry. I'm still getting over a cold. So every time I laugh, I start coughing uncontrollably. So we had to stop it.
Because of my pool.
And your horrible dad jokes.
I was pulling you in the direction of a cough.
Okay. Let's talk about something that...
So we're talking about homegrown and this Bible study, but more than that, we're talking about what does it mean to truly raise kids who walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and how can we do that? How can we raise emotionally and spiritually mature children? This isn't about just emotional maturity. This is about spiritual maturity. What does discipleship look like in the lives of our kids? How do we disciple them to love Jesus and
how do we to love others? Do that?
How do we do that? Well, let's do it. Let's talk about it. So, you know, as it relates to the study, so some of you might be having questions like, oh, do we do this in a group? Do we do this? Yes, do this in a group of parents, at your church, in a small group, or you can do it as parents as well, just in your own. Now, we genuinely believe that doing this in community and that growing in community is really important. And so if you can do this with other families that you journey with, other parents, because there's going to be questions that come up. And interpretation and how you apply these scriptures, how you apply this out in the everyday life of your kids, where you just need encouragement from other people.
Yeah. Walking the same journey with you, which is the whole point. I mean, well, that's the whole point of In This Together, the podcast, really in everything we do, because it's just us coming alongside one another. I mean, we're trying to raise a generation of kids that love God, that live well, that lead well. And you really can't do that alone, but you might also be in a season where it's just like hunker down and survive. And this may just be a really sweet time for you and your spouse to do this together. And it might be a study. We haven't done a study, you and I together, just you and I in a long time.
Just the two of us.
Yeah.
Well, we do. We read books and stuff.
But not like, I guess we do sometimes.
You could technically call them study. I don't think you're getting into semantics in terms of...
I guess so.
Yeah, you're getting into semantics. An actual study that you take and you buy and you walk through, I think is what you're describing. But we do a lot of that kind of stuff on a regular basis. So anyway, the point is this. Yeah, Deuteronomy chapter 6 says there's four key times of the day. But Moses is also describing to Israel, he's saying, "Hear, O Israel." Before he talks about those four key times of the day, he says, "Hear, O Israel, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul." And the reality is this is that passage where Moses is saying, he's not just speaking to parents, he's speaking to the entire church.
Community, yes.
And he's saying, do this together. Mm-hmm. So when you do this apart from community, it really takes away from, and this is where the local church comes in, this is where a church body, a church community that you can be a part of is so incredibly important and powerful in the lives of your kids.
Yeah. So invite, if you can think of, you know, a handful of other families, 3-4 maybe, of couples, families that you just want to ask or invite and do this together. It would be super powerful for you all just to spend that time together, but then also to walk through this. Because I think as you change, I mean, they say that we are basically the median of the 5 people we spend the most time with. So our 5 closest friends, we sort of land in the middle of them in terms of really everything. They say socioeconomic status, you know, our characteristics, our personality traits. So let's grow together, because I think as we grow, everyone around us is affected. And I think I feel like we're at a space in time where I think God is calling us to more as followers of Christ. And if you're not a follower of Christ and you're listening to this and this all sounds like, I have no idea what you're talking about, the fruit of the Spirit, I have no idea what you're talking about, and growing in the fruit or discipling my kids, I just invite, that is, oh, thank you for listening. I love that you're just a part of our lives. And this might just be the beginning of a journey for you of asking a lot of questions. And I just hope you're comfortable in that place of not knowing, and that place of, if you're new in faith and following Jesus, maybe you've never had this modeled for you before. Maybe your parents, you weren't raised in a home where this was taught or talked about. That is so good and okay. And we just invite you in this, in with us, and we would love, reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you. And, I also think this would be a really great tool in your hands to help walk you through who is God? What is the character of God? Like, is he trustworthy? Mm-hmm. Is he good? Why does he even apply to my kids? Why does he apply to me? Because I think if you know the God that knows me, you will start to walk into a life of love and of interest in pursuing him, just out of starting to get to know his true character. Because sometimes we can get real tainted by the versions of God that we've seen maybe in people. And I'm so sorry for that for you. I'm so sorry for the hurt that might have caused.
There's a book that I wrote a number of years ago, co-authored, called God Attachment, Why We Believe, Act, and Feel the Way We Do About God. And so much of it, our concepts of God come out of our own upbringing. Mm-hmm. You know, they come out of whether it was brokenness or whether it was even maybe not brokenness, but it was just, we just saw a version of God based upon who our parents were. There's actually a really good book by Paul Vitz called Faith of the Fatherless. And he looked at a ton of different major atheists throughout history and the lack of relationship they had with their father. Fascinating guy out of NYU, researcher out of New York University. Just fascinating research. Anyway, all that to say, there's so many of us that even going into a study like this, we may not have been discipled by our own parents. Mm-hmm. Like, they took us to church, and church was the way that we learned about God. We didn't necessarily learn through our parents.
Right.
And so for this, you know, that's the beauty of this study, is that we've set it up in such a way that there's no condemnation, there's no guilt, you don't have to be a theological scholar to walk through this study.
In fact, I hope you're not.
You just walk through the study in a way that allows you to understand who God is and understand how to live out his character, mm-hmm. and pursue him, and then allow your kids to be able to do that as well. So that's...
I could be wrong on this, but I think it was Thomas Merton that said, what you think of God is the most important thing about you.
A.W. Tozer.
Shoot. Is that right?
We should fact check that, but I'm pretty sure it's A.W. Tozer. I'll fact check it here in a minute.
I'll fact check you.
That's right.
I just know it's a really interesting... I've sat with that for a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty powerful thing. But I also think... So for those of you who've grown up in the church, I think just to, something I've learned recently is, I think we spend a lot of time, especially as we've grown up and gone to school or learned some sort of trade, that we've acquired a lot of really good knowledge, which is usually a pretty good thing. But so often we start to accumulate that knowledge and it just fills our brains so full that there's really not a lot of room for anything else. And when I said, I hope you're not a theological scholar, it's not because I don't want you to know the word of God. I think that's the most powerful, important thing that we can know as believers. But so often we think we know, and our preconceived notions get so stuck in our head that there's no room for fresh growth, for new knowledge. And what if we approached life and God as a beginner, like a learner? If we approach it as a student ready to learn, what new things might he show us? And I think that's why this study is so impactful for me, because if we can put aside, I mean, love, joy, peace, patience, I know these things in my head. I've been taught these since I was a little girl. But what if we put aside everything we thought we knew about the Spirit of God and its work in us? And what if we learned as just started as just a beginner, just like our kids are just learning about God and his work in our lives? And what if we just looked at it through a beginner's lens? And there's a whole lot of freedom and joy there, I think.
Hmm. Let's introduce you right now to Homegrown. Who doesn't dream of their kids living out the fruit of the Spirit?
As parents, though, the thought of cultivating this in our children can feel like a pipe dream. Busyness creeps in, tempers flare. Just getting our kids into bed or out the door sometimes feels like a massive parenting win.
We get it. That's our story, too. You don't have to be a parent for long to feel inadequate or like you're messing up. Many of us didn't grow up in homes with parents who discipled us, let alone taught us about the Holy Spirit. On the other hand, what an amazing encouragement and legacy it could be to raise our children in the love of God and others.
That's why we created Homegrown, cultivating kids in the fruit of the Spirit. We want to put a tool in the hands of families that builds up and encourages parents to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and also provide activities, prayers, and questions that facilitate that same growth in their children.
Check out Homegrown in the show notes today. Welcome back. Now that you've heard about it, we've been talking about here, we're going to come out of the break. I'm coming out of the break here because I did a fact check. A.W. Tozer once said, what comes into our minds, this was in 1978, he said, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. And he goes on and he talks more about that. But then it was C.S. Lewis who wrote 1941, so we're talking 37 years earlier. C.S. Lewis actually said this, I read in a periodical the other day that the fundamental thing is how we think of God. By God himself, it is not. How God thinks of us is not only more important, but infinitely more important. Indeed, how we think of him is of no importance, except insofar as it is related to how he thinks of us.
Well, that just messes up your mind.
So now it just messes up your mind, because C.S. Lewis thinks that, one
Tozer was wrong.
I mean, I don't think he's saying Tozer is wrong, because Tozer goes on and talks a little bit more about that.
Sorry, Tozer.
Yeah. Well, Tozer ends up saying always the most revealing thing about the church is her idea of God.
That's it. That's so true.
But the idea, though, I believe goes back to 1 John, where he says, we love because he first loved us. Our ability to love other people is really comes vertical from the vertical relationship first, and how we receive God's love and that dynamic. With that said, as we talk about this, As we talk about all this, the thing that I want to point out here as it relates to this, we also have to be students of our children. So in other words, our children are going to be on very different emotional and spiritual developmental levels, depending on their age, depending on their own cognitive abilities and where they're at. And so the word study can feel heavy and academic and that type of thing.
We didn't know what else to call it. Like, there's no other term.
It's a study, but discipleship should be fun.
Totally.
It should be interactive. Our kids should be enjoying it. This is why there's activities, conversations. That's really the meat. That's really the good stuff, is when you get into the conversations and you get into the fun. And so
they need to find a new word, because it's not a book. I mean, I guess it's a study because there's no other term for it, but it's like a fun adventure.
It's a fun adventure.
Let's call it that.
And that's, to me, that's what raising our kids in Christ and in the church should look like. Now, granted, it's not always fun. We're talking about suffering, and I'm a huge fan of suffering. I think suffering's amazing.
Let's just hear what he just said. Can we all just take a pause?
Romans 5:3-5 says, to rejoice in suffering. With suffering comes perseverance. My growth. Let's go back to A.W. Tozer. A.W. Tozer, your boy. actually, your boy was Thomas Merton. My boy's A.W. Tozer. That's why I had to correct you. He says, I doubt God can use any man greatly until he's hurt him deeply. So let me just rephrase this. This is not all about fun and adventure, but if your kids aren't interested in it, it's going to be, there's parts of it that will be boring. Yeah. However, we can't be over their heads. We've got to be journeying with them and become students of them and make this stuff interesting and fun.
Also, the key to keep in mind, discipling our kids is not just helping them learn the truth of the Bible alone. I think so often that's where we kind of get stuck, even in the church and Sunday school, is they learn the stories, which is wonderful, necessary, absolutely important.
What grounds you? It grounds your, grounds all of your experience.
Yes. Those felt board thing. I mean, I still remember them.
Yeah. It grounds all of it. Yeah.
35 years later. But it's how those truths apply to their lives. That's where we gotta grab those nuggets and then pull them down like right close to our heart. How does that apply to your life, daughter?
How do you live that out?
Son, how do we live it out? Why does that matter? Because so often I think kids get real confused because they learn these stories. I mean, Jonah and the whale, like it's these like far out things like they could have watched on, I don't know, some kids' TV show. And it's like, well, how does that apply to my life? Like, why do I need to know that? And that's where we want to pull those truths down and pull them right into their heart. Because if we can, again, bring this alongside, it's like the emotional maturity that we've talked about in What Am I Feeling? And we've talked so much about in this podcast and in Josh's book, Safe House. But then now we're pulling in the spiritual maturity because they go hand in hand, side by side. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we've done a great job linking that for kids and showing them why. I don't think even in the church we've done a great job as adults bringing that in. We see a whole lot of spiritual maturity, in air quotes, where there's just lack of emotional maturity. Or we go the other way where we just... emotional maturity is our striving goal, and that's usually outside of the church. And our spiritual maturity is just waning and lacking. And we are such advocates for both. And
well, and the reality is the more you pursue Christ, the more emotionally healthy you should be becoming.
Should be becoming.
Yeah, the way you pursue Christ. I mean, if we're pursuing Christ and we're walking in the fruit of the Spirit and we've crucified our flesh with its passions and desires, I mean, that's Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit starts by crucifying our flesh, dying to our flesh. I mean, even in the beginning of Homegrown, we talk about this. It really all starts that we must be spiritually connected to grow fruit. Mm-hmm. You know, John, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself, but if it dies, it produces much fruit." So we have to get to a place where we understand it. And then you go also into John where we're connected to the vine, right? I mean, he is the vine. We are the branches. We have to stay connected to the vine in order to grow and live and be and become. And again, that starts with us as parents, living that out, staying connected, and then living that out before our kids. And I think, well, and you see this throughout research, but and I think we see it anecdotally, but also experientially. I think we see it all over the place. But where we see the difference is when you don't have, when kids see parents saying one thing and doing something
else.
And I saw that in the church growing up. That was one of my experiences. Is there one thing was said and then something else was being done in the way people were living their lives, which led me to a different church and led me to hold down a very different journey in a good way. But we have to be living there. And I think even for us, you know, one of the things that we've been doing is, and we've been doing this even more lately, is honing in on Bible scriptures and verses as it relates to discipline, as it relates to when our children might have done something wrong. And then we say, hey, you know, well, when you don't treat your sister that way, so, you know, treat others as you want to be treated, or, you know, be, you know, kind words are like honey, sweet for the soul, healthy for the body, when we're not using kind words. That idea, as Christy's talking about, the truths of the Bible are so incredibly important, and giving our kids those truths and how to live that out, because otherwise otherwise what do you ground your basis of right and wrong on as a parent? But then how do they live that out? And helping them understand this is how to live that out.
I'm actually really excited for this. I hope it may not be a season where you're ready for this right now, and that is so okay. But we just hope that it lands in your life, in your path at some place. And oh my gosh, can we talk about the video that we did for it?
We can talk about the video.
Oh my gosh, their video. I don't know if it'll be ready. Okay, it will be ready. Josh, give me a thumbs up. I cried the first time I saw it. We got to go to this organic farm that was like outside of Nashville and film this because it's called Homegrown Cultivating Kids in the Fruit of the Spirit. And it's like my dream. Like basically I got to like live my dream for a day. And it was so good. It was just, it was such a special day. The kids got to come. The dog even came, although I don't think he's in any of the video. But it was just really special. And then the script that they did behind it, I mean, I just cried. They did. It wasn't us. It wasn't us. Like that, I don't know. The production team, I thought, did the most beautiful, meaningful. It got to the heart of why this matters for our kids and for us. And what if we could be families that instilled this kind of truth and this kind of to watch the work of the Spirit in our lives? Can you imagine what our generation could look like? I mean, could you imagine? It was so inspirational for me. Seriously, I like cried. It's my kids, so that it is may your kids, be so it why. Helps, but
yeah,
it was meaningful to me. And I'm just saying, I'm excited about it, and I really liked it.
So a couple last points here is that just as it relates to raising our kids to be spiritually mature, one, we have to be connected. We have to be connected spiritually to the vine. We are the branches. We got to be connected to Jesus. We have to be growing. But then there's another piece of this too, that the fruit of the Spirit.
Can I just say something for a sec?
Go ahead.
To the person listening right now who is not growing, who maybe their growth, like they went through seasons of growth, you know, in high school or college or an earlier season in life, and you are just feeling stuck and stagnant right now.
Good call.
Yep.
We've been there.
And okay. And you reach for whatever little bit of hope and growth and love and joy. Go back to the last place that you saw God clearly, that you felt him, that you heard him, that you knew it was him and you were assured that he was good. Go back to that place and just start from there. There is no condemnation. I think sometimes you look at this and you're like, oh gosh, I just have, it just feels like another weight to add to the shame or to the thing I need to do, I'm supposed to do, I have to do.
That's now the last thing the study is all about.
The last thing. And I just, whether it's this or something else, whatever it is that starts to spark that life, I pray that into you. I pray that God would put in your path the next thing that is to spark you back to life. You will go through seasons. You will walk through deserts. It may be decades. And he won't leave you. He hasn't left you. And if this is something or something else you see on a bookstore shelf or maybe your own bookshelf, or maybe it's a bird out the window, maybe it's a flat, whatever it is. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I pray that you will be ready to learn and then he will spark that growth in you.
Well said.
I just think that sometimes it can feel like another thing I'm supposed to do.
Well, and I think
and
the
I
other
just
thing that
speak that off you.
Here's the other thing that I think is really, really important. Growth takes time. And we hear Paul talk about the fruit of the Spirit as botanical growth. You hear our spiritual growth talked about all the time throughout Scripture, as a seed, being connected to the vine, the fruit, growing in fruit. That is a botanical growth takes time. When you are watering something, when you're growing something, there's a process from which that grows. And so to expect our kids overnight to experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control, that's a tongue twister. I don't even have those things.
That's what I'm saying. Because ourselves.
And the other key of this too, and as you'll learn, is these are not fruits of the Spirit. They are the fruit of the Spirit.
That messes up your mind. I know.
It's a singular predicate. So in other words, it is a little English major there. So It's one. They're all interconnected. I wasn't at all. Did I was you know horrible the in most English. Horrible. My really? SAT scores were ridiculous. And here I am writing books today. Go take that SAT scores.
It's the humor of God.
It's they're interconnected.
Yeah.
Right? They're interconnected.
It's as you're so, growing, meaning as you're growing in one, you're kind of, it's like the whole fruit basket.
Yeah,
you're,
they need to really, because you can't just be gentle and be a jerk. Right? I mean, there you go. So.
You can't just be gentle and be a jerk. Take that
a
to the bank.
A gentle jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you could be passive aggressive and be a jerk, but still be gentle about it.
Totally.
You know? Mm. Anyway, so there's that.
I've known people like that.
And so I just really want to encourage that. This takes time and it happens in community. I mean, this is what the church is all about. And so we just really want to encourage you guys. Hopefully you got some nuggets out of here today of just what spiritual and emotional growth looks like. We talked a lot about emotional growth in our kids. It's got to be... that happens. You just don't want emotional growth in your kids. I mean, we want the spiritual growth in our kids. And when you're pursuing spiritual growth, the emotional growth follows. Hmm. How's that?
That's good.
Thank you.
That's good.
Thank you for your validation of what I just said.
You're good. Thank you. Is that the message you missed as a child? You were good.
No, that's not the message I missed as a child.
That's the message I missed.
You know what was funny? We talked about Enneagram real quick. The message I missed was, you are safe. And I didn't even realize that.
And he wrote a book called Safe House.
Until after I wrote a book called Safe House on Emotional Safety.
How hilarious is that?
Wah, wah, wah. Isn't that crazy? So.
And I wrote a book about feelings, and I'm a Enneagram 4.
Our next episode. So we'll talk about just our own, I don't know if it'll be the next episode, but it'll be one upcoming where we talk about spiritual growth and development. What does it look like in our own home? Those seasons that Christy talked about.
The dark night of the soul.
The dark night of the soul, the darkness, the just even for wherever you're at in your journey, just even that idea of grasping at anything. We really want to help you see kind of those seasons and what those seasons can look like. And so it just sparked an idea in my brain, and I realized we need to do that.
I love that, because literally
we get questions about that a lot.
And what I think is so interesting is once you start to recognize the sort of stages of faith and the growth and the walk of faith, which is just what it is, it's just a journey of faith. We're all at different places in that journey, but it's actually very predictable and common. And yet I think the enemy's greatest tactic is to tell us we're alone. And to tell us we're the only one struggling or suffering or in silence and God is quiet. And it's like, no, I mean, we'll talk about that in the other episode, but it has just been the most comforting thing to my soul to recognize this is the way the walk of faith goes.
And the faith is the currency of heaven.
Mm.
So let's, any questions you have related to that particular topic or you want to see us do that, go to inthistogetherpodcast.com, submit a question, let us know what questions you have around this. We'll answer your questions around that particular topic. Also, leave us a review. The more reviews we get, the more people find out about it. And of course, thank you so much for recommending us this podcast and this journey to other people. We have heard from so many of you. Running on the treadmill or going for a run or driving in the car or wherever, just listening. We are unbelievably grateful to be a part of your life, and we're humbled by it. So thank you. And until next week, enjoy the moments.
We love you.
Check out inthistogetherpodcast.com for previous episodes and to subscribe. If you have a question or a topic that you'd love us to cover, hit the submit button there on the page.
And we would also love if you would leave us a review. Your reviews mean so much to us and help others learn about the podcast. You can also find us on Instagram or Facebook. And for coaching and speaking inquiries, visit our website at drjoshandchristy.com.
Until next time, press in and live in the moment.